The temperature on Thursday of this past week was at least 110. Or so it seemed as I found myself positioned underneath the Ferris wheel at Alabama Adventure. Hands tightly clenched around 150 meal passes for the excited campers and counselors who were spending the day away from Sawyerville Day Camp. We had just completed an hour and a half ride from Greensboro to Bessemer on a school bus, and we're about to spend the next 6 hours of fun being tossed and turned, jolted and joggled, and even turned upside down at 60 miles an hour on rides with names like Rampage, Vertigo, and Mind Spinner. My assignment, other than passing out the meal tickets, was to remain beneath the Ferris wheel as a home base in case someone got separated from his or her assigned group. Did I mention that the temperature was something like 110 that day? I wish I had the fortitude and faith of St. Paul, who could say in his letter to the Colossians, "I am now rejoicing in my suffering." But I don't. I was not rejoicing. I was sweating a lot. I was missing my cushy office job and questioning my sanity or lack thereof, something that I've been doing on a more and more frequent basis over the last 4 weeks. The kids, on the other hand, were having a blast. 150 people between the ages of 10 and 27 were covering every inch of that theme park. They didn't even seem to notice the heat, much less be bothered by it. Some of the children had never left Greensboro, Alabama. This was truly the event of a lifetime for them. And that's what Sawyerville Day Camp is about, at least on the surface. It's about providing opportunities and experiences for rural, low-income kids who otherwise might not have many positive opportunities. But what Sawyerville is actually about is embodying the love of Christ, truly being Christ's body in the world. The many people involved in Sawyerville Day Camp are living the gospel in Greensboro, Alabama. 70 counselors, ages 16 to 28, and 200 children, ages 5 to 14, step out of their normal lives and routines and come together as a community. This experience literally changes people's lives, campers and counselors alike. So often we hear concern about the youth of today, which of course that same concern has been voiced in every generation. But I'm here to tell you, the Holy Spirit is alive and well and very much working through the youth of the Diocese of Alabama, and I suspect most everywhere else as well. I saw otherwise self-absorbed teenagers patiently teaching fearful 10-year-olds how to swim. I saw affluent white kids dancing and rapping with very poor black kids and acting like this was part of their everyday routine. I saw joy, compassion, smiles, tears, and the image of Christ on every face. These kids get it. So often, we let the opportunity to experience the presence of Christ slip by. We're so distracted by our lives and so cut off in what we think needs to be done that we don't step out of our routines. Martha had that problem too. Jesus came to her house. We know from other accounts that they were friends. They had a relationship. Jesus stopped by her house for dinner as he was traveling with his disciples. And Martha got busy cooking and cleaning and making sure all the appropriate forms of hospitality were offered for her guest. There were clean sheets on the bed and a clean hand towel in the powder room. She hustled and bustled, dusted and vacuumed, mopped and took out the trash. She fussed and fretted and worked herself into a frenzy, so much so that when Jesus arrived, she was downright ticked at her sister Mary, who couldn't seem to be bothered to help out. While Martha continued to work herself to the bone in the kitchen, Mary was contented to do nothing more than sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to whatever it was he had to say. How dare she be so inconsiderate? How dare she let me do all the work? Martha, fuming, stormed out of the kitchen. She had had enough. She was going to get this settled once and for all. She knew Jesus would take her side. He had never had much patience with slackers. Martha, filled with righteous indignation, turns everything on the stove down to simmer and saunters into the living room, hands on hips, where Jesus and her lollygagging sister are, and says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." And at this very moment, the very certain, very self-righteous Martha is deflated, totally deflated. Jesus says to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is only need of one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." And you know, those of us who can really relate to Martha in this story are really feeling bad for her right now. She thought she was doing the right thing. She thought that all of her busyness and work were what really needed to be done. She didn't realize that all of her well-intentioned efforts were merely a distraction from what was truly important. After all, didn't Jesus deserve clean sheets and a fresh hand towel? Wasn't it just good manners to make sure he didn't find dust on the baseboards? Seriously, what would Jesus have thought if he came to Martha's house and she offered him a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? This story makes me really uncomfortable. In part because I, like many others, pride myself in being busy. Busyness means that I'm important, that I'm valued, that I'm needed. How often have you asked someone how they are or how it's going, only to be told, "busy"? Busy defines us. As long as we're busy, we have a purpose. We have value. Our value is determined by our level of busyness. And Jesus calls us on the carpet on this. He says, it doesn't matter how busy you are. What matters is what you're busy doing. Are you busy doing busy work just to be busy? Or are you busy doing the business of God? Are you busy being my body in the world? What he said to Martha is, stop worrying about what you have to do for me or what you can give to me. The important part is what I can give to you, and then what you have to give to the world. On that afternoon in the home of Martha and Mary, the important part was to learn from Jesus, to take from Jesus, not to be busy for the sake of busyness, and certainly not for the sake of appearances. Jesus really has no use for appearances. But he does have a use for hearts and souls and bodies. Jesus was embodied in Greensboro, Alabama last week. in the bodies of young adults who stepped out of their busyness. And let me tell you, there are fewer people in the world that are more busy than young adults. And because they were not distracted by many things, they were able to bring the love of God to each other and to all those who came in contact with them. Barriers of race were broken down. Economic divides were crossed. There were no thems or those people. We were all together as children of God because we were not distracted by the worries and busyness that we so often allow to get in the way. We are working on that here, and we can do more. Walls still divide. Barriers still remain. Busyness still defines us and gives us value. What are our distractions? What is our busyness? Are we paying attention to Jesus or trying to get Jesus to see how busy we are? Let us choose the better part that will not be taken away. Amen.